It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we'll circle back to the Texans in just a minute. CJ Stroud with some perspective after the game. We'll run it through the filter here and see if it matches up with how we're feeling about this team. But bad day yesterday for the Texans. Bad, really bad day for the offensive line. 34-7. They lose to the Minnesota Vikings. Bad day for the Astros, too. Bullpen implosion in the ninth inning leads to a 9-8 loss to the Los Angeles Angels. The worst news, though, is Yordan Alvarez hurt himself sliding into second base. No contact or anything. He didn't run into anybody. He just slid into second base, stretching a single to a double. Joe Espada after the game on Yordan Alvarez.
Pretty sore right knee contusion, and we are getting some imaging done right now, so we won't find out anything, you know, at least for next hour. But, you know, not what I wanted to see. You know, when I run out there, and it's pretty sore just when he slid and just his weight on the knee, just the way he landed. So hopefully we get some good news here.
Hopefully.
I sure do hope so. Yeah. I have a contusion. What could go wrong with the contusion?
There's no way it could turn into a 3-month shin breakage.
I fully expect at some point 3 weeks from now they're going to say, well, it turns out that actually every leg bone was broken. We just couldn't see it with the imaging. We've got these MRI machines that we got from Soviet Russia in 1975.
You think we're being snarky? This is where this team has put us when it comes to injuries.
Yes.
This is their fault.
Yordan's contusion is not as simple as those days of me saying, oh, a contusion, that's just fancy lingo for a bruise. I don't know.
No.
I don't know so much anymore.
It's fancy lingo for a hairline fracture for Kyle Tucker.
They put three syllables in it for a reason.
You know that this lines up directly with what I've been begging Yordan to not do.
You don't want him to slide.
I don't want him to slide.
What do you do? You can't play baseball without ever sliding.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Just don't slide.
Oh, yeah. Just try to stop really fast on two
just
feet
on
and
first.
Collide into people.
How about you stay on first?
All right. No. No. No, he's just got it. That's a hazard of the game of baseball.
It's really hazardous with him. Anyways.
He does have that. He has that feel of a 3500 heavy duty diesel just going down the highway at 90 miles an hour when he's running. And you're like, okay, it's fine. Wow, it can move along really well until a little bunny rabbit hops out in front of it.
Yeah.
And then you got to swerve.
Well,
it doesn't quite have the alacrity that you hope
that
for.
That was saying alacrity. That's a good word. We didn't get to watch the Astros game yesterday because we were watching the Texans game up here. We were just getting push notifications. At least I wasn't watching the Astros game. But I got the push notification from several people who were at the game or, reporters or whatnot, where you go, okay, Yordan Alvarez is leaving the game after sliding into second base. I just assumed that he was sliding into second base and ran into another human being.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was just sliding into second base and nobody was within 12 feet of the bag.
It was a superfluous slide. Right, but again, that should be no big deal. You got to do that 20 times in practice, putting on your sliding pants there.
All right. All right. Well, Jake Myers is batting second in the playoffs.
This is who Yordan is. I mean, this is not, I just can't tell a guy not to do the normal everyday baseball activities because you're built a certain way.
They just need to win one game against Seattle, and they'll clinch the division. Here's Alex Bregman saying, we're in a pretty good spot right now.
I think we keep focusing on taking it one day at a time, continue to play good baseball. I thought we played well, showed a lot of I thought our offense was really good today, just being able to bounce back inning after inning. And, I thought it was a good series all the way around. I thought our pitchers threw the ball really well all series long.
They're going to be the 3 seed, it looks like. They're 4.5 games back of Cleveland right now for the 2nd seed. As we pointed out, they just need to win one game against Seattle. They'll clinch the magic number's 2.
But that's not always the simplest thing to do. They had a simple, easy way in last year, too. And remember, it got kind of dicey.
Mm-hmm.
They needed the help of the Rangers. So Josh Hader was the biggest disappointment yesterday, obviously. Gave up, was it 4 earned runs?
4 earned runs,
I just wanted to check just to be sure on Josh Hader's playoff performance. I hadn't looked at it in a while. He's been in 16 postseason games. He's only given up earned runs in 2 of those appearances.
Okay.
So it's not like you have to worry about Josh Hader being some guy that can't handle the pressure or crunch time or
we're
anything
used
like
to good
that.
Closers. I mean, Ryan Presley was a great postseason closer for the Astros. So yeah, we're used to that. That's the buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
So one game, win one out of three. They've got their three best starters going. They got Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Yusei Kikuchi. Like if we get to Thursday and the Astros haven't clinched the division,
yeah,
there's going to be a major five alarm fire going on.
It'll be a rough week in Houston.
It'll be
a rough week in Houston.
Between that and the Texans, yes.
Yeah, then the Texans just without if Joe Mixon's not healthy, I might just not come to the game next week. I think that's one area they missed Joe Mixon yesterday was in pass protection too. That first holding call on Kate Stover. Cam Akers had every opportunity to give a little bit of a chip.
Yeah.
But he squeezed through that tiny hole like it was a run play or something. Instead of just making any one bit of an effort to help out Cade Stover, he just...
I haven't seen snap counts yet. To see how many snaps British Brooks got?
Yeah.
He had one really good... on Cam Akers' really only good run of the day, that 9-yard run, mm-hmm. British Brooks had a nice block out of the fullback position on that play. I gotta go check that out.
I would say put as many people on the field who actually enjoy physical contact as possible.
Well, then they're gonna have to revamp the offensive line, it would appear.
I want Broker to be the starting left tackle. You know, give me somebody that'll at least fight people out. Give me a holding penalty instead of a false start. Can I get that?
Yes.
Just an aggressive penalty.
Something involving contact.
Something that doesn't involve peeing down your leg because it's loud.
Yeah.
It was really, I don't think you guys understand. It was really loud in there. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see that? You hear that horn?
It was loud.
That horn was blowing.
They're saying skull.
Yeah, it was a skull. I didn't even know what that was all about.
Skull. And I just had to move.
I be honest with you. I didn't think it was a healthy work environment. I just thought the decibel level that's frankly, like, can OSHA not get involved in this?
Right, OSHA.
Of course I jumped off sides. I was terrified.
Here's CJ Stroud shifting gears. The Astros back at it tonight. Hunter Brown on the mound against the Seattle Mariners. Here's CJ Stroud asked if this can be a game that they'll look back at as a turning point for them.
100% agree. I've dealt with games like this before where it's like, man, like, we look terrible. We look good, but that's not the truth. You know, they kicked our butts today. They are a great team, and they will continue to be doing great things. But we know what we are, and that's not what we put on the field today. Got a lot of respect for those guys over there. But like Steph said, I mean, this is just the beginning. It's week three. It's no time to, you know, point the finger or, you know, or separate. It's only time to come together. That's all. The most thing that matters, we stay together. We don't care about the outside noise. We know everybody's probably going to turn their back on us. We know our fans are going to stay loyal. So, you know, it is what it is. We know what we're going to be, and we're going to, you know, continue to go through the lumps that everybody goes through during the year at some point, and we're glad it's happening now.
As you said, like Seth said, you got to stick together right now. You got to stick together right now. I like that Stephon Diggs was the one that delivered that message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Stephon Diggs also did, you know, it was a lot more active yesterday. But, man, every single reception was so hard fought for all those guys yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too political here, but I'll quote a unanimously regarded as a great American president, Jeff Van Gundy, who once said, don't ignore in victory what you would not ignore in defeat. I think the Texans ignored a lot of stuff in victory the last couple weeks. I think that I'm glad they got punched and contused in the shins in week three instead of in week six or something, because they got away with a lot of nonsense and a lot of sloppiness in the first 2 weeks that if they'd been facing a better quarterback or a better team, they wouldn't have gotten away with. You know, they were lucky in some respects to get away with it in the first two games. So maybe this is a wake-up call that they need. We can set aside our podcasts. We can set aside our GQ. We can set aside our appointments with our personal jeweler. Whatever things that might plague the offensive line and others right now, you can say, oh, yeah, we sucked. Yep. Nope, that's what happens when we play that way. We sucked.
Well, and take it personally.
Yeah,
Take it personally. That's the thing I think that's frustrating for me, for Texan fans, anybody who watches this team. It feels like, and I'll hone in on Laremy Tunsil again, because he's the leader of this. He's the elected leader of this offensive line, elected by his teammates as a captain of this team. It feels like Laremy Tunsil takes Pro Football Focus rankings more personally than he does ass kickings like yesterday.
Right. It's never his fault.
Right.
It's never his fault. Well, you want your leaders to be sure that they're people there. You set an example of it never being their fault. And that, but I,
you want me to read the other Laramie Tunsil quote?
Yeah.
I read the illegal formation one in the open.
Yeah.
I'll read the other one.
Yeah, like he completely, speak nothing of the false starts, but sure, the illegal formation.
Well, here's the quote on the false starts.
Okay.
Here's Laramie Tunsil.
This is a great one. This is great.
False starts. I want people to understand we all have to be on the same communication. I'll take accountability because they're calling my name, but it takes all of us.
Right. So it's. So the offensive linemen are trying to time it so that they're leaving as the ball is being snapped, if not a little bit before. You can get away with a little bit before.
Yeah.
The problem is this. Laramie Tunsil has had this problem through multiple different centers.
Yes.
And every year the excuse is the same. It's that, oh no, it's got to be the center or somehow. I don't know if he's rhythmically challenged. I haven't seen him dance or anything, but dude, you're like the guy that's on his ninth wife and is like, oh, all these bitches be crazy. Excuse my language, everything. Like, no, at some point, take some accountability. Mm-hmm. If it's happening with multiple different centers and it's not an issue for the other guys on the offensive line, it's a Laramie Tunsil issue.
Correct.
It's especially frustrating because Laramie Tunsil is one of the most athletic offensive tackles in the league. Of all the guys who need, like, a little bit of just extra help to time the snap count perfectly, he's the last guy who actually needs that extra help. And it's just, it's willfully harming the offense at this point. It's not even a matter of, you're willfully doing harm to them, you know, brazenly, and then asking for not even forgiveness, but just saying it's not your fault. I cannot imagine that D'Amico is cool with this. I cannot imagine D'Amico is cool with the way Laramie Tunsil operates. Never practices. Super vet. Remember CJ called him super vet? Never does anything more than he has to or anything. He's 30 years old. He's been operating like super vet since he was 27. Like, that's a status you get when you're 32, 33 or something. It's such a bad example.
Yeah. Text message.
Think of the children.
Text message. I'm really worried that Tunsil and Titus are not going to be held accountable at all, and this is just going to continue. Here's another text message. This is for you. Seth, how does a new-ish head coach like D'Amico get his message through to his diva offensive line player, Laramie Tunsil?
I was thinking about that at halftime. I mean, do you bench him? I mean, do you really go out there with...
Four penalties in the first half.
Yeah, because you've got...
And none of them came at a good time.
Blake Fisher or Nick Broker are your next options, so you got to make that. You got to make that devil's compromise between, well... I really would prefer CJ not to leave this game with fewer internal organs than he arrived with, but I also, we can't operate this way. We can't get to where we want to go. I mean, it's just brazen at this point. It's brazen.
Yeah.
The league leader in penalties last year had 20 penalties.
It was Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, plays for a good football team. They managed to get by with the way he operates and everything. Laramie Tunsil right now has 10 penalties.
Three games. So he's on pace for about 55 penalties.
He's on pace for, yeah.
Oh,
but it's not his fault. It's the league.
I mean, the league
happens to be targeting the guy that happens to have gotten penalized for false starts more than anybody else since 2018.
Totally. No, that's the shame of the whole thing.
Right.
He's going to get 55 penalties this year, and it's not even his fault.
Basically a martyr is what he is.
It's a good thing he got paid, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I feel good that he
got
paid. I
can't wait for the next side-eye emoji when somebody gets paid.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. Text message, the Tunsil free pass is over, and don't say he didn't have one. He did. You guys gave it to him. Okay, we gave him a free pass.
Like, honestly, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what are you even talking about?
Right.
Okay, the free pass is over. Don't deny that he had one. I've openly and like
said
I've openly
years.
Said that he's had a... Not a free pass, but that, yeah, he gets away with it, partly because he's so good. But it's uncomfortable. Like, I have not felt, ever since D'Amico came to this team, I haven't been comfortable with the fact that Laramie Tunsil is supposed to be one of your team leaders, and he's the least swarm-like good player on the team.
Yes.
There's nothing about him and the way he operates that fits in step with the way D'Amico operates.
Agreed.
The real tragedy of it all is, it does. It goes back to Bill O'Brien. Trent Williams was out there. Could have traded a third-round pick for Trent Williams. Instead, they chose to go with two first-round picks for Laramie Tunsil. And it's astounding, man.
All right.
If he would just take responsibility for it, at least.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. Texans lose 34-7 to the Minnesota Vikings. Up next, headlines. Well,
I love the notion that somehow, oh yeah, the reason that Laremy Tunsil is still the starting left tackle is because D'Amico is listening to Payne and Pendergast, and they gave him a free pass. So
we've been giving him a free pass.
That's over now, Buster.
Yeah,
that's over now,
yeah.
Buster.
Yeah, yeah. No, the free pass is gone now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to headlines. Texans lose yesterday. Astros lose around the NFL. There were some crazy results yesterday that we're going to get into in headlines. We'll get you all up to speed coming up next.